fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and happy November. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. This evening, we continue our preview of Sunday's New York City Marathon. Ethiopia's Lelisa Desisa and Kenya's Mary Kaitani have returned to New York to defend their men's and women's titles. Last year in New York, Lelisa had a winning time of 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 59 seconds. It'll be interesting to see how the 29-year-old Ethiopian runs in New York, since Lelisa will be competing less than a month after winning the world title in the marathon in Doha, Qatar. Lelisa won the gold medal in Doha with a time of 2 hours, 10 minutes, and 40 seconds. Meanwhile, the defending women's champion, Mary Kaitani, will be bidding for a 5th New York City Marathon title. And Mary sounds delighted to be in New York again.
I mean, it's just new to, you know, it's a special city. It's always great to be back here. And I can
to come to New York for the marathon this weekend. So I'm very excited. I'm prepared for the race, and I'm ready to try to do my best again to win for the 5th time. I can say that New York is really amazing. I love it. And since I've won there here 4 times, so I'm not taking for granted. It's really good to me, and I'm happy again, and really amazing again to be New York in 2019.
Also in New York are Daniel Romanchuk of the United States and Manuela Scher of Switzerland, the defending men's and women's champions in the wheelchair races. Ladies first. Here's what Manuela has to say ahead of Sunday's race.
I mean, it's just New York. You know, it's a special city. It's always great to be back here. And I can't believe it's been a year. It's passed so incredibly fast. It's always the last major marathon of the season. So it's always a special moment to look back to the season. And yeah, I'm really excited to be back.
Meanwhile, Daniel Romanchuk is back in New York, too. Daniel, we had tornado warnings here in the Washington area on Thursday night, and there were power outages and very windy conditions. Looking ahead to Sunday, Daniel, how can weather conditions affect wheelchair racing?
Wind affects us, rain, the temperatures, you know, depends on that'll play a certain factor in, you know, how we dress and things like that. So, yeah, pretty much any factor will change the race a bit.
Thanks, Daniel. As Daniel Romanchuk and Manuela Scher get ready to defend their wheelchair race titles in New York, other disabled athletes have their own personal motivations for competing, and these motivations are both heartening and heroic. To preview this special population of athletes, VOA's Adam Phillips met with some runners from Achilles International, a nonprofit group dedicated to inclusion and excellence among the athletically inclined disabled.
It's 6 o'clock on a crisp October evening, about a week before Marathon Day, and several members of the Brooklyn chapter of Achilles International are gathering at a local runner's store for their weekly workout in nearby Prospect Park. Jean-Pierre is among the first to arrive. Lovingly known by his friends as the ultimate running machine, he found Achilles after a violent robbery left him with a traumatic head injury. For him, Achilles' folks are family.
They're always there for me. We run together. We do social things like we go out, eat sometimes. It changed my life completely. Run the races, I feel good, especially when they cheer me out and push me to the finish line all the time.
Have you run marathon before?
I ran about 13 marathons.
Did you finish ever?
I finished all of my marathons.
Wow, what's it like to cross the finish line after a race like that?
Feels good, and once it gets to the finish line, I want to do it over again.
Nearby, Michael Ring also greets friends and prepares to work out. This seemed unlikely 5.5 years ago when Ring was struck with a sudden onset autoimmune disorder that paralyzed his limbs.
I was hospitalized for 135 days. They thought I was going to die. I didn't die.
Ring was isolated and depressed when he finally came home. But a concerned friend from Achilles International decided to start a local chapter to help support and encourage him and people like him. It was an instant success.
Life handed me a lot of lemons, like a lot of lemons. I was really screwed up. And I knew I had to make lemonade. Suddenly I found these great people. You know, I found other broken people and people who cared about broken people. You know, that you know, we can come and we can talk about our problems, learn about how to deal with accessoride and how to deal with other issues about being a person with a disability in New York.
What does the athletic aspect of it contribute to it that makes it more than just a simple support group?
It's mainstreaming disabled athletes. Like, I was an athlete. I mean, I was never a great athlete. I ran 2 marathons a year. I ran a race every other weekend. I was just a runner. And this is a place where people with physical disabilities can go out and run with people who aren't disabled, you know, and feel great about themselves. You know, go out and get accomplishments in the able world.
Well, how are you doing these days?
Well, I finished 3 marathons. You know, I used to finish marathons in 4 or 5 hours, and now I finish marathons in 9 or 10 hours.
Sunday will be the first New York City marathon for 39-year-old Neil Biddy, whose hydrocephalus blinded him over 12 years ago.
The first time I ran was in Manhattan Achilles International. That was in Central Park. Basically, I didn't know how to run at that time. Basically, I was just sprinting, and then I started walking. And all that. I didn't know anything about pacing and all that. But when I got to Brooklyn Achilles, there was a guy named Sam Smullen. He's one of the guides for Achilles and everything. He slowed down my pace, and basically, soon enough, I did 0.5 miles, a mile every week and everything. And soon enough, I hit 3.4 miles around Prospect Park with no problem.
How did that feel?
It felt good.
Achilles athletes often run with able-bodied volunteers who offer companionship, safety, and support. These guys are often surprised by the sheer athleticism of those they're helping and inspired by their positive attitudes toward life.
Neil, do you have a guide?
Good luck in the marathon,
out in the park, Nicoletta Naranjis, an experienced able-bodied marathoner, says she found her way back from severe depression through running and guiding others at Achilles International.
You know, I think life in general is very difficult. We have our ups and downs, but I think the guide through Achilles and through guiding an athlete is really seeing another person with challenges that to them could be beyond, like, how could I go through something like that? Like, I don't know how. And then to see the athlete running and walking and coming every week and running races and getting medals and feeling amazing and having difficult days, but, like, keep going. And I think out of this, the guides, they just keep moving forward as well. Their life is transformed by it, just as much as the athletes. It's a life-changing place.
Indeed, as the countdown to Sunday's New York City Marathon edges ever closer, one thing is clear for all the runners, guides, and volunteers at Achilles International and hundreds of thousands of others. If you work hard against the odds and have fun along the way, you have won a prize richly deserved. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America. I'm a sucker for
arms. Hi, I'm Larry London. Don't miss your chance to get the Now 71 CD, including some of the top hit songs of today's biggest stars.
I can't write one song that's not about you. Can't drink without
the CD features Billie Eilish as Bad Guy.
So you're a tough guy.
make it really rough, guy. Just can't get enough, guy. Just always so puff, guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type, make your girlfriend mad type.
Lil Nas X, Old Town Road.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm gonna ride.
And many of the greatest hits. You can only get the chance to win by listening to Border Crossings. Tune us in every day at 1500 UTC.
Thanks, Larry. Always ready to cross musical borders. That's Larry London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Japanese city of Sapporo was formally approved on Friday as host of the marathon events at next year's Summer Olympics. The decision was made based on concerns about temperatures in Tokyo, which regularly exceed 30 degrees Celsius in the summer months. Reuters' Ryan Brooks reports.
Fears over sweltering summer heat in Tokyo have pushed marathon events for the 2020 Olympics out of the city. On Friday, Tokyo Governor Yuriko Koike gave her reluctant consent to relocate the event away from Japan's capital.
Although we cannot agree with the IOC's decision, the government of Tokyo has decided not to interfere because the IOC has the authority to make the final call.
The International Olympic Committee announced last month the marathon would be held in Sapporo, 800 kilometers north of Tokyo. With only 9 months to go before the Games, the move stunned many organizers and sparked a standoff between the IOC and Koike. Even after a flurry of meetings, the governor refused to budge and said she still thought the marathon and run-walk events should be held in her city. She called the move a, quote, decision without agreement. Summer temperatures in Tokyo regularly break 30 degrees Celsius or 86 degrees Fahrenheit, and runners could face high humidity too. The IOC says it doesn't want a repeat of recent athletic world championships in Qatar, where the heat forced many marathon runners to drop out, even though the race began at midnight.
Thanks for that report, Ryan Brooks. South Africa will face England Saturday in the Rugby World Cup final in Yokohama, Japan. VOA's Gwen Uten has this preview for us. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Ahead of Saturday's match, South Africans dressed in green and gold were gathered in Nelson Mandela Square in Johannesburg to cheer on their beloved Springboks.
Our country needs this. Come on, bring it home, boys. Come on.
Yes, and we believe in you. We know you can do it. We're standing with you together.
We know that you want to bring the cup home. The confidence in the guys is so amazing. And what we know, we are here to show them love and support, and we know they will bring it back.
Proud of you. You can do it. All the best. Bring it home, boys.
Bring it home.
And those fans have another reason to celebrate with the return of winger Cheslin Kolbe, who is regarded as an important attacking weapon for the Springboks. Kolbe missed out on last weekend's semifinal due to an ankle injury, but on Thursday he said he's healthy and ready to face England in the final.
I know God has different plans for different people, and he's healed me and he's made sure that I'm ready. Wasn't for the semi-final, but now for the final. So my faith is really strong, and I just leave everything up into God's hands, because he's the one that sets up plans for us in different paths. So yeah, as I said, I'm really confident. I'll always give my 100%. I'll never go on the field when I'm not 100%, because that's just being selfish, and I think as a player.
Besides the addition of Cheslin Kolbe, coach Rossi Erasmus says he will make no further changes to his squad nor the team's direct style of play.
Our team selection won't be far off from what we've been selecting the last couple of games, you know, so we'll pretty much go with more or less the same team. We believe that's the way we can get the best out of our team, and we believe that's the longevity in terms of playing so many games in a six-day turnaround, rotating forwards and stuff like that. So yeah, it is a bit of horses for courses, but we also believe it's our most in-fit form best available, best combination team.
Matching South Africa's physicality has been on the minds of the England squad leading up to the final. And England flanker Sam Underhill says his team will have to pick the right moments to turn on their speed and athleticism against the Springboks.
For us, it's important in our attack. I suppose speed of ball is one thing you want. It's one thing the opposition don't want. So for any attack to function well, you need good speed of ball. Yeah, in defence, there's not much you can do about what they sort of bring at you apart from turn up physically. So I think that's probably going to be a theme going into tomorrow. A lot of what's underpinning, you know, a lot of aspects of the game is physicality. So we get that right and hopefully we'll be able to dictate to the game.
And like South Africa, England head coach Eddie Jones says he will stick with the same lineup that produced one of England's best performances in their victory over New Zealand.
The great thing for us is that we've done the preparation. We're ready for this occasion. You know, we've spent 4 years getting ready for this occasion. So that's why the players can be relaxed. That's why I can be relaxed, because we know we've done the work, but we're not relaxed about knowing what's in front of us. We know South Africa is going to come hard. Yeah, they've got a history of being the most physically intimidating team in the world, so we've got to take that away from them. And the boys know what's ahead of them. Everyone knows what's at stake. But because we've had such a good preparation, we can go out there and play without any fear.
Well, England is hoping to fearlessly add another Rugby World Cup title to the one they clinched in 2003. For South Africa, the two-time champion Springboks are in a quest to hoist the trophy for a third time, an achievement South Africa forwards coach Matt Proudfoot says will add to the pride of his country.
Yeah, I think South Africa's got, as a country, a lot of challenges. You know, but we are resilient people. We understand what it means to live at the tip end of Africa. But it's a country with a hell of a lot of pride in their national identity. And I suppose the history, what 95 meant for the country, created a new opportunity for people in South Africa. And I suppose the Springbok is the, you know, the tool that which people use as a symbol of hope, a symbol of opportunity. It shows, you know, if you look at the stories of players and the team, what can be achieved with hard work. So I suppose it's wrapped up in the psychology of a lot of people. And I just think South Africans love the game. You know, the game, we grow up with it in our schools. Young boys play it. It's a highly supported activity back home. So I suppose from a young age you get indoctrinated into the game, and you know, there is no better symbol. You know, when you see a player become a Springbok, you know, they change, and they pass that on to the country. They take what it means to them to the country. So I think there's a real connection between the Springbok player and what it means to be a Springbok and the supporter back home.
Well, we are just one day away from the championship match, where South Africa is set to face England to see who will win the 2019 Rugby World Cup title. Stay tuned, and that is all from me for the week. It's back to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen, and you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to PCUSA@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA. every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
My name is Coach Alex Mwara, the head coach of Nigerian D Tigers. I want to give a special shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you very much.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, the Los Angeles Clippers sailed to victory behind another excellent game from star forward Kawhi Leonard, as we hear now from the AP's Mark Myers.
The Clippers dealt the Spurs their first loss of the season. L.A. wins it 103-97. Playing against his former team, Kawhi Leonard scored 38 points, 25 of those coming in the second half. He also added 12 rebounds. He says the game was won on the defensive end.
I just like that we held the team under 100 points, you know what I mean? Whenever you do that in this day of age, I feel like you did a great job defensively. I think those are the things we need to do each night.
Teammate Montrezl Harrell scored 24 points. DeMar DeRozan hit for 29, and Derek White added 20 for the now 3-1 Spurs. The Clippers improved to 4-2. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. Now let's go to Atlanta, Georgia, where the Miami Heat beat the host Atlanta Hawks by 9 points. The AP's Gary McKillops reports from Atlanta.
The Miami Heat continued its fast start as Kendrick Nunn pumped through 28 points, leading the Heat to a 106-97 win over the Atlanta Hawks. Miami is now 4-1. Nunn hit 4 of 6 from the three-point line. The Heat shooting guard said he's optimistic about what the team can do this year.
We're definitely capable of a lot. It's just the beginning. It's early in the season. It's a long season to go. Not going to get too high on it, and just try to stay consistent.
Miami also had four other players in double figures, led by Myers Leonard with 16. Jimmy Butler was held to 5 points, but had 11 assists and 9 rebounds. The Heat took the lead midway through the first period and were never headed. The Hawks were playing without their leading scorer, Trae Young. Gary McKillops, Atlanta.
Thanks, Gary. Atlanta point guard and leading scorer, Trae Young, did not play in Thursday night's game because of a sprained ankle. The 21-year-old Young is one of the NBA's rising young stars. In 4 games this season, Trey is averaging almost 27 points and 7 assists a contest, and Trey is also shooting 50% from three-point range. In one more NBA result Thursday night, the New Orleans Pelicans picked up their first victory of the season, beating the visiting Denver Nuggets 122-107. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the November 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer this evening, Nadia Taha. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend and a nice November, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomers have found a number of exoplanets whose orbits are in what is called the habitable zone. A planetary system's habitable or Goldilocks zone is an orbital region around a star where it's not too hot nor too cold, and any orbiting planets could have liquid water on its surface, something that's essential to support life. A new study from Rice University in Houston, Texas, suggests simply residing in a star's habitable zone may not be enough to determine a planet's actual habitability. The planet's star also needs to be on its best behavior. According to the study, a number of Earth-like planets found orbiting in the habitable zone also circle too close to their stars to escape the effects of the star's strong magnetic fields and associated radiation. The study authors are building a computer model to help determine how a star's atmosphere and magnetic fields affect planets in its habitable zone. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Up next, what's behind Russia's most recent provocation of Ukraine? We'll talk with Will Pomerantz, deputy director of the Cannon Institute at the Wilson Center, and Mark Simakovsky, senior fellow at the Atlantic Council, about why Russia attacked Ukrainian ships in the Kerch Strait in late November and the implications of this brazen assault. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa. Join me and my co-host, Howard Lester, every weekday mornings at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of the show through our listeners' mail segment. Just send your views to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa, your breakfast show.
Hello, music lovers. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This Sunday, tune in for a full hour of Africa's best music. Chatty and electro dance music? Check. Classic Monde Grill music? Check. Interview with founder of Ghanaian Hip Life, Reggie Rockstone? Check. Everybody. There's this and so much more music for everyone in this show. So don't miss it. This Sunday, 1500 and 2000 UTC. On Music Time in Africa.
Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you the biggest stories of the day. Our global correspondents report the news objectively and comprehensively, keeping you informed about important world events. International Edition provides analysis from the most seasoned experts around the world to put the day's events into context to better understand what's happening and how it may affect you. Listen to International Edition Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 Universal Time on the Voice of America or your local affiliate. You can also listen to the show on demand by visiting the program page at voanews.com or by subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts. VOA's International Edition, your go-to source for accurate, comprehensive, and objective news.